Welcome to our series of podcasts presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime as we explore the sensitive subject of abusive and inappropriate peer-to-peer online activity, more commonly referred to as cyberbullying. With our ever-changing panel of experts, students, and guests, we share facts, observations, and opinions for the benefit of victim service providers, guidance counselors, school resource officers, psychologists, administrators, and teachers. So let's get started with our third podcast in the series, Creating Change. Today we are discussing a few very important topics. First, and in the spirit of creating real change for our schools and our students, we will address the big issue of respect, of doing the right thing, and of bystander empowerment. This is a topic and an effort that is gaining some significant momentum as schools, victim service providers, and experts explore what is perhaps at the root of the cyberbullying epidemic. Secondly, we have discussed the need for schools to have a code of conduct, and most states now do require school districts to establish and implement harassment and bullying prevention policies. We're going to take a broad look at some of the specifics and procedures that should be included in this material. Lastly, as we discuss the changing state laws on cyberbullying, we want to make sure that schools and victim service providers know where to turn for the latest legal information on this subject. We are extremely honored to have with us Perry Aftab, who is an internet privacy and security lawyer and executive director and founder of Wired Safety and StopCyberbullying.org. She has also founded several youth leadership programs. Also joining us is journalist Barbara Bellisi, author of a recent series of articles on bullying and cyberbullying, where she covers the specific topics of early prevention during childhood, bullying in high school and college, and adult bullies. So tell me, Barbara, from your perspective, about the efforts being made to focus on respect as a way of tackling this problem of cyberbullying.
It's been very interesting to see some of the positive results that come out of some of the programs. For instance, the National Crime Prevention Council's initiative, Circle of Respect, is a great example of a program that shows there is a real need for all of us, educators, authors, parents, law enforcement officials, clergy, contributing writers on this subject, and of course, children of all ages, to perhaps back up and examine root causes of problems such as bullying and cyberbullying.
Getting back to basics, you mean?
Exactly. And what we're seeing in a positive way is a new objective, but a very basic objective, and a new focus that examines our general respect for one another and ourselves. When we are able to shift our focus away from the day-to-day incidences of cyberbullying, how do we put out this fire? Who is really in the wrong here? And what should the consequences or punishment be in this case? We can start talking about how we treat one another in a civilized world. Are we doing it in a respectful manner or a disrespectful manner? We start asking deeper questions of ourselves, like, how do I like to be treated? Or am I truly proud of myself for having said that or thought that about another person? We ask, do I respect myself enough, believe in myself enough, and believe in the idea of fundamental, mutual, and universal respect, that I will speak out and not silently stand by and watch a fellow student get slammed, abused, ignored, and treated this way by some other kid or group who I may or may not know.
So let's put cyberbullying to the side for a moment and simply take a look at the core issue of respect.
Yes. When we can get our children, and ourselves for that matter, to start asking these questions and truly understand the need for and value of respect, then we are really beginning to change a school's environment and climate. We are really beginning to break the cycle where disrespect is what is wrong, and the act of cyberbullying is simply a byproduct of this bad judgment or lack of judgment. And we need to teach this from the very beginning, because I believe that you cannot and should not settle for the notion that a lack of respect is just a part of being immature.
You're talking about bystander empowerment, aren't you? And there is a great deal written on this subject. Perry, how do you encourage this, particularly as we focus on respect for one another?
It is important, as we think about respect, that we think about it from two perspectives: respect for others and respect for yourself. Very few of us can live with ourselves if we see things that are wrong going on and we do nothing to stop it. So what you can do is report it. All of the big social networks and the game sites and the instant messaging and the cell phone providers want you to report bad things when they go on, and they promise to do something to help them. So report it, don't support it. We also need to make sure that you know where to report it and how to report it, and that you know that when you do, that they are not going to tell the cyberbully that you were the one who called them in. So if you take a stance and say, this isn't going to happen, you let everyone know what's going wrong and where it's going wrong, we may be able to stop it.
So Barbara, by teaching respect, we are learning how to stand up for one another, generally supporting what is right, and learning how to comfortably speak out when we see things.
Yes. It's all about breaking the cycle of disrespect. And frankly, an excellent place to start is with online usage, online language, and online protocol. This is the new communication, and it's here to stay. And if our kids don't learn it now, they and we are in for a rough road ahead.
So Perry, let's go over some of the details that need to be included when creating a code of conduct.
Codes of conduct tend to be more casual than district policy, which is often law locally. But now as we're seeing more and more states putting cyberbullying laws into effect, they're now requiring schools to adopt policies that look a certain way and include certain things. For example, in New Jersey, there's a new cyberbullying law that gives educators direct liability if they don't report in writing within 48 hours a cyberbullying incident that they heard about. And those cases have to be investigated, and the investigations have to be closed within 10 days. As we're looking at this and they tell you what your policies need to say, you may not have a lot of choice. Here's where the choice comes in. You talk about the fact that cyberbullying should not occur. You define cyberbullying so people know that it includes stealing passwords, direct threats, rumor mongering, taking over somebody else's account, misusing their devices, switching off their SIM cards, all of the different things that happen. The best place to go for those definitions, if the state doesn't require a particular definition, is the kids themselves. Sit there with a video camera and ask the kids to list all of the different things that constitute cyberbullying. Have them write them out as well, because you're going to be looking to the kids to help you distribute your policies. Once you pull all those together, then you turn around and say, well, what are the rules? What are the students comfortable with? What are the parents comfortable with? And what can the school do once they decide they're going to take jurisdiction over this? If parents and students sign it, you have no jurisdictional issues on free speech. Adults and adults on behalf of their children can waive their rights to free speech, which they would be doing in this case. If a school takes a position that they will treat any cyberbullying or cyber harassment between or among students, wherever it occurred, as though it had occurred on school grounds, and the parents are willing to sign saying, yes, I agree, you now have jurisdiction over any type of cyberbullying that's reported to you. Once you write a policy so it is clear, everyone understands it, and you send it out to all stakeholders to make sure they do, now you have an official version. That official version should be sent out, sent home with the kids, signed by the parents, signed by the kids, and none of the young people should be allowed to engage in the educational process unless it's signed. Then you have the kids translate it. Have them look at it and put it in their own words. Find kids who are articulate, put together a team. Make sure that everyone understands it, they're clear on what it means, they can ask the questions so that when you turn around and say, that was a rule and you broke it, there's no question that they understood.
Where should people go to find out more information and tips on preventing cyberbullying?
Well, there are lots of places they can go. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think NCPC's site has been wonderful, and, you know, I've been on your advisory board since the beginning of time. We also love Stop Cyberbullying, our own resource, but there are others as well. LMK.GirlScouts.org is a Girl Scouts program. AThinLine.org is MTV's program. There are a lot of wonderful resources out there. What you need to do is make sure that you do something, find someone who knows what they're talking about, and learn from them.
We're extremely grateful to our panel, Perry Aftab of WiredSafety.org.
I'm here whenever you need me.
And also freelance writer and journalist Barbara Bellisi.
Thanks for having me.
We'll now take a moment to point out two books from the National Crime Prevention Council's Circle of Respect Book Club. Our first recommendation is nonfiction and is consistent with the theme of this discussion, respect. The book is The Power of Respect, written by broadcaster journalist Deborah Norville. Our second featured book is The Girls by Amy Goldman Koss, a wonderful piece of fiction and fun for the whole family. Remember, visit us online and often here at the National Crime Prevention Council. Just go to ncpc.org and in the search bar, simply enter the word cyberbullying. Remember to visit our website often as we provide updated information on a regular basis. We know that a victim service provider's best ally is a concerned parent. A parent who is able to have a frank and meaningful discussion with his or her child. Thank you for joining us. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime and was supported by grant number 2009-VFGX-K003, awarded by the Office for Victims of Crime, Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. The opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed in this product are those of the contributors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice.